May God be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Creator God, you call your church to witness that in Christ we find healing for ourselves and for creation. Help us so to witness to your love that we may be found working toward healing and reconciliation through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Is the Lord among us or not? This is the question the Israelites ask as they're wandering around the wilderness without a map or any blessed idea of where they were headed. This is a question we ask ourselves when we feel distressed, alone, directionless, or in transition. I imagine this is a question you asked each other when you were between rectors. And perhaps it's a question that you've asked many times, maybe when you started the Friends Ministry or the Neighbor's Lunch, maybe when you began a Bible study or a home group. It's a question we asked each other constantly during the pandemic, and a question we ask individually when we don't know which way to turn. When we're trying to make sense of where we find ourselves, when something bad or unexpected happens, a death, a diagnosis, a loss of any kind. I don't think there's a more profound question to ask. Is God with us? Is God here? The people of Israel are thirsty. They were enslaved, you'll remember, to the Egyptians and had a very hard life. Then Moses was voluntold by God to lead them to the promised land. After being successfully sprung from Pharaoh's clutches, they are now wandering around in the wilderness. And so on one hand, they can hardly be blamed for asking for water in the face of dying cattle and crying children. It is a basic human need. And on the other hand, they've already cried out to God 3 times before and been helped each time. God walked them through the Red Sea on dry land. God helped them turn the water from brackish into sweet. God gave them manna and quail when they were hungry. And so this is the 4th time. It can be easy to forget goodness and deliverance and grace very quickly. "Why did you bring us out of Egypt?" they asked Moses. Many of us can relate to holding on to something we know is not very good for us, only because we are uncertain of what else is out there. Fear of the unknown can make us do some pretty unwise things. Maybe the people want to know if Moses is only interested in exploiting them as Pharaoh was. Maybe they are doubting Moses' ability to lead them at all, given that they've been moving farther and farther into the unknown, each step taking them deeper into the wilderness. What the Israelites really yearn for, what we really yearn for, one commentator writes, is not God out there in the cosmos, but God right here in the messy particularity of our lives. God up close and personal. The Israelites had a deep thirst, and once again, God proves to be a patient and dependable partner. Moses takes some elders with him, strikes a rock with his staff, and water flows out. The gifts God gave the people when they were wandering through the wilderness are commemorated by Jewish communities even now in the Feast of Tabernacles, also called Sukkot. Cheney Wenjack must have had a deep thirst. In 1966, Cheney was 12 years old. He was Ojibwe and had been taken to Cecilia Jeffrey Residential School in Kenora, Ontario, far away from all he had ever known. Cheney spoke very little English, and so when he arrived at the school at the age of 9, he was put into grade 1 and forced to repeat it the 2nd year he was there. Though he had friends in the school and was known to have a fantastic sense of humor, Cheney missed his parents very much. And so in October that year, he and several friends ran away. They took nothing with them except the clothes on their backs, thin cotton t-shirts and slacks, and light windbreakers. Cheney ended up being separated from his friends and struck out on his own. 100 hours is the generally accepted statistic for how long a human body can survive at average temperatures without water. But these were not average temperatures, the ones that Cheney was experiencing, ranging as they were between -1 and -6 degrees Celsius in the midst of freezing rain and snow squalls. Exertion, such as walking long hours, can cut down the time a body can survive without water. One long day's march, about 7 hours, is all it would take to finish someone off. Cheney walked about 12 miles before collapsing. He likely had fallen several times before that, as there were bruises found on his shins, on his forehead, and over his left eye. He died of exposure and hunger, the coroner said, just 4.5 feet from the train tracks that carried white folks in warm and well-fed comfort to their destinations. His body was found by a train engineer, and Cheney's clothing was soaked through. The only thing in his pockets was a small glass jar with a screw top lid. Inside the jar were 6 matches. They were bone dry. That's all he had. Ed Beaudry said, who was a section foreman on the train, "This is a story that should be told. We tell this man he has to send his son to one of our schools, then we bring his boy back in a luggage car." Cheney died trying to walk home, over 400 miles away. Is the Lord among us or not? When God told Moses that he was to lead the Israelites out of captivity, Moses' first reaction was disbelief. "What? You don't want me, God. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring them out of Egypt? You need to choose someone else." Remember that Moses was happily herding his father's sheep, minding his own business before he encountered the burning bush. And now he brings the Israelites to that very same spot, to Rephidim. The people are on sacred ground. One thing about Moses, though he doesn't feel equipped for the job, though he sometimes has a hard time, he always brings his problems before God. "What shall I do with these people?" he cries in our story this morning. "They are almost ready to stone me." God gives Moses some instructions which have him crossing in front of the people. In doing so, he encounters their need just as much as his own. He exposes himself to their anger, to their fear, to their insistence. Cheney didn't have someone like Moses to guide him on his long journey. Oh, there were people who should have been guides to him, his teachers, the government, the church. They failed Cheney and his family. We failed Cheney and his family and so many, many others. God was with him all the days of his short life, and we forgot or thought that we knew better what he needed. We didn't hear God call. And now we as a nation, as relative newcomers to this land, have a chance to pay attention. We have a chance to try to understand, to listen to the truth in Cheney's story and in the stories of so many others. We have a chance to act, treating Indigenous brothers and sisters as the children of God that they are, as equals, as beloved, opening ourselves up to hearing what they need and doing everything we can to bring about reconciliation. Maybe we feel ill-equipped, and we can think of a million reasons why this job should belong to someone else, someone who is younger or smarter, someone who has more energy or stamina or patience, someone who better understands the issues, someone who has studied this stuff. The good news is that God uses what God has. And at this moment, for better or for worse, that is you and that is me. There is no time to waste. Let's go. Amen.